This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenson with the Live Feed.
It's time once again when we present Over the Back Fence, a community variety show that takes place in Lanesboro, Minnesota, the second Friday of every month from February through November. Tonight, you will hear songs that are very recognizable. We'll listen to stories of family traditions such as drive-in movie night and sleepovers at Grandma and Grandpa's house. We'll also feature comedy from Al Platt as he describes awkward traditions we all encounter in our lives and how he chooses to handle them. I'm Terry Tenseth, welcoming you to a night of entertainment with Over the Back Fence.
The following program is a production of the Lanesboro Radio Company's Over the Back Fence. It was recorded before a live studio audience on Friday, July 11th at the St. Main Theater in Lanesboro. The theme of the show is traditions and features Raven's Fire.
Hello, my name is Damon Preston. My name is Harvey Benson. I'm here tonight to welcome you to this evening's performance of Over the Back Fence. As you heard, the theme is traditions, and actually the real host is this gentleman here, Damon Prestamon, and we have a nice lady on the piano, Rita Delzell. So that's all I have to do, and now here's the real Damon. Thank you.
Good evening and welcome to the Lanesboro Arts Center presentation of Over the Back Fence. We're celebrating our 20th year! Tonight our theme is traditions. Tonight's special musical guest is Raven's Fire. We'll also be hearing from our sponsors, including Barry from Bluff Country Computer Works and Mark from Niagara Cave. We also have got in store an excerpt from Fiddler on the Roof. And of course, as tradition will hold, a game of charades are all coming up on tonight's show. But I see we've got the Back Fence Gang gathering here for a rather patriotic number.
Our national anthem is a 200-year-old tradition. It was written back in 1814 by Francis Scott Key, but it wasn't official for well over 100 years, only after a cartoon by Ripley's, believe it or not, pointed out America has no national anthem. 5 million letters to Congress later, President Hoover signed a law recognizing the Star Spangled Banner as our national song. When it's played at sporting events and other public occasions, tradition calls on us to stand at attention, to face the flag, to remove hats, and put right hand over the heart.
Traditional national anthem. Rita, I feel like playing a sport right now.
And what would that be? Probably.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, we could play just about anything, with the exception of soccer, I believe.
Because.
Oh, we don't like soccer in America.
Oh, well, we have two granddaughters who play soccer.
Well, right. I mean, we all like it when we're young, and if we can watch the young people play. But then when they become adults, they don't like soccer anymore.
Well, I don't know. I thought I mean, I wasn't real happy with what happened with the USA team, but I thought they looked mighty awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I can buy that. It is just a bunch of guys running around, though. You realize that, right?
Are we going to let them get away with that? Are there any other soccer fans here?
I'm just pointing out the obvious. Hey, look, there's a sports fan over the back fence. Thank goodness you showed up, George. You got me out of trouble.
Well, of course, you're always getting yourself in trouble, aren't you? Always putting your foot in your mouth.
That's true. What do you have for us this evening?
I have a poem that I would like to share with everybody tonight. Many of you may have fond memories of staying overnight at your grandma and grandpa's house. Or, if you are a grandparent, you have probably enjoyed having your grandkids sleep over. I know I certainly have. Terry Wheeler writes about this in his poem, Home Away From Home. I remember when we were little kids and would stay at grandma and grandpa's house at night. We would get scolded when we talked in bed until, once again, the room would grow quiet. Just when we thought we were out of trouble, one of us would think of something funny to say. We would hear footsteps coming down the hall. That meant that Grandpa was on his way. Now, Grandma and Grandpa could be quite stern, but never could they be mean. Mostly, it was a lot of love that came from them. That is what we had seen. Finally, we would settle down for the night, and before we knew it, it was the next day. We weren't anxious to get up because we had talked the night away. Grandma would yell, "You kids, get up! Get out of bed! It's time for you to eat!" We could already smell the biscuits, bacon, and eggs. We knew we were in for quite a treat. We were right, because when we saw the table set with all the goodies galore, it only made us want to stay at Grandma and Grandpa's house more and more and more.
Yeah. Thank you, George. With the poem Home Away From Home. Quite a tradition for some folks to come to Over the Back Fence. Mm. You know, I'm glad of that. That's why we've been able to survive for 20 years.
I know.
Part of the other reason, though, Rita, we've been able to survive is our fine sponsors, including Bluff Country Computer Works, Cedar Valley Resort, Sally's Hair to Die For, Lanesboro Public Library, Gilby's Pizza and Sandwich Shop, and F&M Community Bank. Well, I see some of the Back Fence gang rolling up there, and I also see Carolyn. What do you have for us?
Well, Carolyn, I'm going to not put you on the spot here and tell the rest of everybody who's here tonight and on the radio audience that the thought came a couple of weeks ago, what would happen if we took a song that praises nature, because that's a huge tradition in America and particularly in Minnesota, and what if we took half of the song and did that, and what if we did the other half with the phrases that Minnesotans and Upper Midwest people say when something amazing happens. And this is what we came up with.
Morning is broken. Yeah, sure, you betcha. Crying out loud.
Praise for the singing. Oh, don't you know? Praise for the springing.
For goodness sake.
Sweet the rain's snowfall.
Great cats and dogs.
Sweet the rain's snowfall.
One for the books.
Spring is completeness.
Oh, for sure.
Oof, Krista. Holy mackerel. Wow.
Well, creation, you know.
We don't really say those things, do we?
Well, I never do.
I guess, actually, I probably said all of them at least once today already.
Yes.
Well, hi, Bonita. What do you have for us?
A short story of experience of being a child and the family going to the drive-in movies. A summertime treat in the 1950s was going to the drive-in movie. Sticky, sweaty days of farm work ended with supper in our sticky, sweaty kitchen. The box fan on the floor moved the sultry air around. It was before the time of air conditioning. Once in a while, Mommy would start to clear the supper dishes and tell me to help my three younger brothers wash up and change into pajamas. Daddy would make popcorn on the stove, enough to fill a brown paper grocery bag. He'd drizzle in melted butter, add salt, shake up the bag, and get out the picnic thermos. Then we children scuffled barefoot through the summer lawn, fragrant with clover, a few light quick steps across the sharp driveway gravel, then into the back seat of our Buick Roadmaster, powder blue with white hardtop. And four holes along the side of the front fenders. Four of us children, side by side. The younger boys in the middle so they couldn't reach the windows. No car seats or booster seats or seat belts back then. Just the understanding that we would behave. As we rode along, the air through the open car windows blew our hair and helped cool us some. On the long 17-mile drive west to Spring Valley, we could watch the sunset, or count telephone poles, or practice riddles, or sing songs. The Spring Valley A&W Root Beer Stand was an exotic, night-lit oasis. Daddy bought root beer to fill the thermos, then drove us across the highway to join the line of cars for the drive-in movie. The parking spaces were graded at an angle to raise the front of the cars so everyone could see the huge screen without getting a stiff neck. After choosing a parking space next to a vehicle with people who looked as though they would be considerate, Daddy cranked up his window a couple of inches and removed the speaker box on our side of the post between the neighbors and us, and hooked the speaker over the window, making sure the cord between the speaker box and the post was slack. Meanwhile, Mommy was pouring root beer from the thermos into plastic glasses and carefully passing them back to us with some popcorn and napkins. Eating in the car. Wearing PJs outside the house. Staying up way past bedtime. Rules were being bent left and right. I don't remember
anything about the movies themselves. The event was the treat. Out in night air, tangy root beer with crunchy, buttery popcorn, and fireflies blinking all around. When the newsreel came on, Daddy adjusted the speaker's volume knob so we could all hear. In order to see, we children knelt on the back seat or stood on the floor, eventually curling up to sleep. Often the youngest brother only made it through the cartoon, which preceded the main feature. I usually stayed awake, not because the movie was interesting, but because I was oldest. When we finally got back home, Daddy carried each of the boys into the house because they were sleeping. I pretended to be asleep. So I could get carried in too. Not quite past that part of being a youngster.
Bonita Underbakke, with a look back at one of her famous family traditions, a trip to the drive-in.
Man, it makes me long for the days of the drive-in.
I know.
They were so great, weren't they?
They really were. Make some noise. Applaud if you've been to a drive-in movie theater. As you can tell, our audience has been to a drive-in.
Yes. I'm wondering, Damon, you're considerably younger than I, but I see some people out there my age. I'm wondering if anybody ever stuffed a whole bunch of people in the trunk.
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you that in the back of a Chevy Truckmaster station wagon in 1983, you can fit 7 people and a keg of beer. I'm not going to discuss how I know that. That was a beautiful station wagon, yellow with the simulated wood grain on the side. It was really wallpaper, but it looked like wood. It looked like wood. Well, you know, without our sponsors, we couldn't put on a show like Over the Back Fence, and we've been doing it 20 years, and have a sponsor that has been with us for the last few is joining us now. Please help me in welcoming Barry Churchill from Bluff Country Computer Works. Well, Barry, welcome to the show, and thank you again for sponsoring our program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, what is it that you do at Bluff Country Computer Works?
Well, as the name would imply, we work on computers.
Well, very good. And you do it in the Bluff Country, I bet, too.
In Bluff Country, yes, we do.
Very good. Now, when you say you work on computers, I'm kind of speaking out of turn here because you've been my computer guy for quite a few years. And without you, I wouldn't be able to operate my computer because when it breaks down, I'm lost. Can you help other people in that same shape?
Yeah, we can do just about anything with the computers, repair, upgrades, new ones, networking, wireless, help you set up any new devices that you have, TVs, tablets, all your mobile devices.
Oh, really? So if I get a new TV, I call you up, you're going to help me figure out all the bells and whistles associated with it, because it's not like the old days where you would just plug in a TV. There seems to be a lot more to do.
Yeah, a lot of the new ones are internet-enabled, so you can watch movies on them, streaming off the internet, and we can help you out with all that.
Well, can you program my remote control?
Yes. Oh,
this is what I'm talking about, folks. You can't live without this guy. I'm telling you, my VCR was still blinking noon for many years. And then he told me there's, you know, a DVD player, Blu-ray, so I could just go ahead and get rid of it. Now, tell me about this. Now, I've seen these little things people are staring at. They look like little tablets. Are those computers, too? And if so, can you help me with those?
Yeah, we can help you out with tablets, laptops, anything like that.
I should point out, too, I know from experience you have a very friendly, helpful staff over there at the office as well.
Yeah, we've got a couple girls that are pretty good with things, answering on phone calls and being able to fix a lot of things over the phone. Otherwise, they can schedule appointments and send me out.
Well, that's really true. And good news, folks, they speak idiot. Because I've called there, I can't really explain what's going on. I don't know how it happened, and they're able to somehow talk me through it.
They're pretty good at translating.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. That's exactly right. So basically, any networking, any kind of laptop or standalone computer, any television, anything with a computer in it, you can help us with.
Pretty much.
Well, we appreciate that. And we also appreciate the fact that you've been a sponsor on this show. Ladies and gentlemen, Barry Churchill from Bluff Country Computer Works. Thank you. Now, Rita, we're here at the beautiful St. Main Theater in downtown Lanesboro. Right. For those of you on the radio, you should come on down and see it. Right now, I'm dressed in a full tuxedo. Thank you. And I understand that there's something else coming up in this theater in the very near future.
There is, and we're really excited about it. And we have our director of Fiddler on the Roof next to our girls here, who is dying to tell people about all of this.
Fantastic.
And so many of you know Fiddler on the Roof, I'm sure. It's the story of Tevye, a milkman, and he's dealing with traditions that are being challenged by changing cultural climate. And he has a few daughters. One of the traditions in his community is that the matchmaker makes matches for marriage. And so his daughters here are going to sing about that with Matchmaker, Matchmaker. We have Ruth and Laura and Elsa. Oh, wait. One more thing. I'm sorry. I need to tell you. It opens on the 18th, which is next week, and it runs for 2 weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay? Where can I get tickets?
Thank you. Call or go to the Lanesboro Arts Center, 467-2446.
They're going fast.
Yes. Thank you. Now you can clap for these great girls.
I wonder if Yenta found a husband for you.
I'm not anxious for Yenta to find me a husband.
Not unless it's Bottle, the tailor.
I didn't ask you.
Seidel, they have to find a match for you before they can find one for me.
And then after her, one for me.
So if Yenta brings...
Yenta.
Well, somebody has to arrange the matches. Young people can't decide these things themselves.
She might bring someone wonderful.
Someone interesting.
And well off.
And important.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find, catch me a catch. Matchmaker, matchmaker, look through your book and make me a perfect match.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, I'll break the veil. You break the groom, slender and pale. Bring me a ring for to be the envy of all I see.
For Papa, make him a scholar.
For Papa, make him rich as a king.
For me, well, I wouldn't holler if he were as handsome as anything.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match.
You had your eye on your books.
And you have your eye on the rabbi's son. Well, why not? We have only one rabbi. He has only one son. Why shouldn't I want the best?
Because you're a girl from a poor family. So whatever Yenta brings, you'll take. Right? Of course, right.
But he's a nice man, a good catch. True?
True.
I promise you'll be happy. And even if you're not, there's more to life than that. Don't ask me what.
right. I heard he has a temper, he'll beat you every night, but only when he's sober, so you're all right. Did you think you'd get a prince? Well, I do the best I can, with no dowry, no money, no family background. Be glad you've got a man.
Batchmaker, batchmaker, you know that I'm still very young. Please, take your time.
Up to this minute, I misunderstood that I could get so good. Do you to see these gentle remains?
Don't forget, Fiddler on the Roof is coming up Friday, July 18th, runs for 2 weekends, 6 performances right here at the St. Main Theater, and you can get advanced tickets at the Lanesboro Arts Center. Hey, a great big thank you goes out to the Coffee Street Fitness Center and Dance Studio, Pedal Pushers Cafe, Niagara Cave, Lanesboro Arts Center, Riverside on the Roof Restaurant and Outfitters, and Merchants Bank. Boy, there's some great songs in that show, isn't there?
You know, I don't know if you go to musicals a lot, but you know, in some musicals, they're just duds. Some songs you just think, why?
They're like filler, kind of.
Sure, yeah. Right. But not one of them in Fiddler is like that. So what you said is right. Yeah. It's full of great music.
Fantastic tunes. And as you can see, there's going to be a full kind of band up here for the performances. We've already started to see some of the set come together. It's going to be a great show coming up next weekend and the weekend after. Well, you know, I look forward to reading one particular article in one particular publication each and every week, and then occasionally he's not in there and it bumps me out. But as I can see, he's my favorite bird man. Ladies and gentlemen, Al Back. Now, normally, Al, I like to come up and visit with folks and get an idea of where they're from and what they're up to, but last time you were on the show, you made me look like a fool. Which, right. I mean, you're not the first. Let's put it that way. But I think tonight I'm going to let you introduce yourself. You tell the folks whatever you'd like, and I'm going to go back here and hide.
I just dragged you down to my level. That's what I was before. So, hi, how are y'all?
Good.
Man, thanks for being here. What a handsome crew. Wow. It's nice being here. I have traditions. You all have traditions. I check my barn door before I get up in front of anybody. Did some of you do that? It started when I was confirmed at Cross of Glory Lutheran Church and did not check to see that my barn door was closed. I was perfect in all the Bible verses, but nobody remembers that. For confirmation, I didn't get money. I got safety pins. It was a terrible, terrible thing. So, at lunch today, I wrote down traditions, and I wrote 7 words. But the first one, I don't know. Wave. I wave at everybody on a gravel road. But I'm not sure. I think that might be state law. It's just like on the interstate highway where it's state law, you have to pass the car ahead of you or you can be ticketed. It's that kind of thing. A tradition for me is I get out of bed. Well, not every day, but most of them I get out of bed. I thought of a very important tradition. Two nights ago, I went to a wake, a visitation. I go to a lot of those. I'm sure a lot of you do. I give eulogies at a lot of things. And what an honor to give a eulogy to somebody who you respected and loved. But I was at a guy, 93 years old, shuffled off this mortal coil. Didn't quite make it to 94. So I get in there, and you all know what we go through at the visitations. You get in a line, and you walk through, and they give you a little brochure kind of that hits the highlights, and we always look. Well, he was Audrey Johnson before she got the divorce. That was his sister-in-law. I didn't know that. You learn things as you're going, and you share it with other people. Did you know Audrey Johnson? And so you're going through all this, and you get up to where the family is. Well, one in the family was my age, classmate, so I went up and I shook his hand, you know, and I said, that's where words really fail you, don't they? There. And I just, you say something brilliant like, I'm sorry he passed. I'm sorry you lost him. And he shook my hand. He said, thanks for being here. That means a lot. Well, this guy was 93, and he was healthy as a horse till the last couple weeks. And then he just went poof like that. He was gone. But up to that point, he was doing everything. So I thought I should add something to perk them up, because that's what we do, don't we? You want to say, well, things aren't all bad, you know, here you go. So I said, he had a good run. He had a good long run. And his son looked at me and said, yeah, you know, this is the sickest he's ever been. All you can do is go, yeah, well, yes, that's true enough. Another thing we did was the state fair. That was a tradition once a year. Boy, we'd get out. We'd had a 1953 Pontiac Chieftain, black one, straight 8 engine with a head of Chief Pontiac glowing an amber hue. Mom had put a wicker basket in there with all kinds of goodies because she said, you know what, we have to take our own food up there because if anything doesn't move for 15 minutes at the fair, they deep fry and put a stick through it right away. So they said, we're taking our own food up there. And we'd go up there, and it was so foreign to us because there were lines. There were lines. You stood in lines. I'm from Heartland, Minnesota, population 315, 4 last names. We don't have lines. You know, that's not necessarily true. We have lines. There's just only one person in each one, so... I stood in line for 30 minutes one year. And then I thought maybe I should ask somebody what the line was to. It was to the ladies' restroom. The fourth one, fourth or fifth, depending on if Wave counted, the grotto of redemption. I don't know if any of you have been to West Bend, Iowa. You have to go through customs and everything, going back and forth, Border Patrol. They can rough you up a little bit, but... We went down there every year, the Grotto of Redemption. Father Doberstein made this beautiful thing out of rock and stone by hand. It was, it's incredible. And we'd go down there, it shows a whole story of man's fall and redemption. And we go through there. Now, I'm not Catholic. I have enough guilt that I could be. I'm just not. But we would go there every year. Now, my father wasn't Catholic. He was Mormon. My mother was Southern Baptist. They got married and moved to Minnesota. And they moved to Heartland, Minnesota. And they said, where is the nearest LDS temple? Well, we don't have one here. We've been thinking of getting one in town, but it's slow. A Baptist church? No. What do you have? Well, we have the Norwegian Lutheran, the Swedish Lutheran, the German Lutheran, the English Lutheran, and Wells Lutheran. And Dad says, well, we're getting Sundays off. And Mom said, the kids are going somewhere. I'll tell you that right now, George. And he said, which one is closest? I became Lutheran because of mileage. The other, oyster stew. We could do... A million hours just on Christmas, but I see a lot of folks feel my pain. Oyster. And when did you get it? Christmas Eve. So you had to eat it because all those presents could go back just as quickly as they came. And Mom had put it out there. Now, oysters were just lima beans who'd learned how to swim. That's all they were. I didn't want to eat them. And Mom knew, so she'd say, I'm just going to put one oyster in each one of your kids because you know your father, he had to eat them when he was your age. You're going to eat them. That's tradition right there. And I would say that little boy's prayer, oh, please, Lord, just let Mom have forgotten to put an oyster in it this year. I promise I'll be good. I'll behave on the bus. I'll do all my Bible study ahead of time. I'll start the chore, and if it come true, I'd have forgotten all those. They were all lies, but I was willing to throw anything out there. That's how strong I felt about it. And I would sip because that stew, that broth was good, and those little crackers, there's nothing better. And I'd just keep eating, hoping, and then I'd hear that vroom. Because lurking in those murky depths was an oyster, and a bah, ah, and you eat it. I never found a good way to eat it. You try to, you chew it. It had gravel in it. It was bad. And then it got worse once I got married. Lutefisk. Oh man, how many eat lutefisk? How many like it? Yeah, it's usually about half. Do you eat it? Yeah. You like it? No, I don't. Somebody said, why do you eat it? Because my wife said you're going to go eat lutefisk. That's why I eat it. She tells me, and it's the way we worm the Norwegians in Heartland. So we go off and eat it. And for those of you who don't eat it, I'll tell you three things about lutefisk. Please eat a lot. Maybe there'll be a shortage this year and I won't get any. Number one, if it's covered with butter, there's a Norwegian somewhere in that family. And if they cover it with cream, that's my people, Swedes. And if they cover it with sand, that's a cat. I wanna thank all of you for being here. This is what small town living's about, and it's just great that you come here and support things like this. I can't thank you enough, but I'd be happy to stop by your house and just spend a night or two. I want to finish with this, just this little thing, about one other thing. I think in little towns like here, we really care, and it's very evident because I've been in those the combines, where we all go out and combine for somebody who's had a heart attack. My wife organizes, and they just bring all this food, and we feed them, and we feed them. We do all these things when there's a problem. And it's very evident in a small town, because you can see it so easily. That said, we can do that because we're nosy. I admit it. We want to know what's going on. That's why we go to the post office and the cafe every day, so we can learn what's going on. But that's, we help people. My mother said, Alan, we're put here on earth to help others. And I'd say, well, what are all the others here for then? Seems like I'm getting a really raw deal. But I was eating at Vivian's Cafe in beautiful downtown Heartland, and it was back when you could still smoke in there, but there was rumblings about they were going to boot everybody out of restaurants for smoking. And I'm sitting there with a bunch of my cronies, guys I went to school with, that we don't have to tell a story because we all know them. We just say, you remember that time, Mr. Edwards? And we all laugh because that was something. We saves a lot of time. And I'm looking over, and there's a guy over there in the corner, and he's smoking cigarettes. He's smoking those Camels without the filters on them, the Camel Straights, and he's lighting one right off the other, so there's no lighter matches involved. And he was good. He can make that smoke come out of his mouth and go up his nose. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think it came out of his ears. I can't say that for sure, but then he would make that little small smoke ring and then send a big one past it. He was gifted. I'm watching him there. I'm just amazed at him doing that. And then finally I decide it's my job to save the world. I got to go over there and tell him that he's ruining his health by smoking over there. So I walk over. I knew him a little bit, not much. We howdied, but we didn't shake. He gave me that chin thing. I said right back at him. And I said, you are quite a smoker. You're like Olympic class smoker. And he said, I hear that a lot. And I said, well, you should. I said, but you know what? He said, well, I said, how many cigarettes do you figure you smoke a day? He said, well, I try to get at least 2 packs a day. And if I got a slow day, I'll get 3 in. And if I don't have a lot of work, I said, boy, that's a lot of cigarettes. He said, you know, they're not cheap anymore. I said, have I got a deal for you? You should quit smoking. He said, why? You said I was good. I said, no, if you quit, you'll save money and your health will be better. You will live longer. And he said, you know, my dad lived to be 98 years old. I said, did he smoke? He said, no, he minded his own business. Thank you all. God bless all of you.
Al Bat, ladies and gentlemen, from all the way over in Heartland, Minnesota, and points in between, one of our favorite guests here on Over the Back Fence, Al Bat. Wow. Woo! Must be tough to be his wife, huh?
Oh. I'm sure. I have a hunch, though, that when he's at home, he's probably very quiet.
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah, he's got to rest sometime.
Yeah, people think that about me, too.
I know. I often have a chat with Chelsea sometimes.
You'll find out that when you're like that, you just can't help it. Mm. Yeah, it's coming on a little bit. Hey, I'm seeing some people that look familiar working their way to the stage right now.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah,
every once in a while, we get lucky, and this group rolls through town, and today is our lucky day, except that not the whole group is here. Oh, there we go. There's been some tuning going on. This will give me a chance to thank some of our sponsors, including Thomas M. Mannion, attorney at law, the Great River Shakespeare Festival, Drury's Furniture, Green Gables Inn, Lanesboro BP and S&A Petroleum, Preston Foods, and Visit Bluff Country Magazine. I see the members of Ravensfire. Please join me in welcoming Ravensfire.
This was traditions, and when they sent around the little schedule last year, you could choose whatever day you wanted to come. And as soon as I saw that, I called Dave right up, and he goes, oh my goodness, I only sent that out 5 minutes ago. I said, I know, I have to have this night. And so we like traditions. Larry and I were in...
We're so old, we are traditions.
Yeah, we are. Larry and I were in bluegrass music 40 years ago. And bluegrass is a traditional American music. And so, for the honor of the night, we went back 40 years and resurrected one that maybe... You have to be a certain age to remember these songs. This one's a song about a horse called the Tennessee Stud.
Long about 1825, I left Tennessee very much alive. Never would have got through the Arkansas mud if I hadn't been riding on the Tennessee Stud. I got in a fight with my sweetheart's pa. One of her brothers was a bad outlaw. I sent her a letter with my uncle Bud. I left town on the Tennessee Stud.
Tennessee Stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve, he had the blood, never was a horse like a Tennessee Stud.
I rode down on in a no man's land, crossed that river called the Rio Grande. Raced my horse against the Spaniard's pole, till I had a skin full of silver and gold. Me and the gambler couldn't agree, got in a fight over Tennessee. Jerked our guns and he fell with a thud. I left town on the Tennessee Stud.
Our Tennessee Stud was long and lean, color of the sun and his eyes were green. He had the nerve, he had the blood, never was a horse like the Tennessee Stud.
I got as lonesome as a man could be, dreaming of my sweetheart back in Tennessee. Stud's green eyes, why they turned to blue, he was dreaming of a sweetheart too. With hope back on across Arkansas, I whooped her brother and I whooped her paw. when I saw the girl with the golden hair. She was a-riding on the Tennessee mare. The Tennessee stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve, he had the blood, never was a horse like a Tennessee stud. Stirrup to stirrup, side by side, we crossed the mountains and the valleys wide. Came to the river, we forded the flood, her on the mare and me on the stud. A little baby boy on a cabin floor, little horse colt ran around the door. I loved that girl with golden hair, the Tennessee stud was a Tennessee mare.
What Tennessee stud was long and lean, color of the sun and his eyes were green. He had the nerve, he had the blood, never was a horse like a Tennessee stud.
Tennessee stud was long and lean, the color of the sun and his eyes were green.
He had the nerve, he had the blood, never was a horse like a Tennessee stud. Never was a horse like a Tennessee stud. Never was a horse like a Tennessee stud. Never was a horse like a Tennessee stud.
Ravenspire! Wow! You guys are incredible. I wasn't really familiar with that song. I'm glad it was about a horse.
This is my husband, Larry Schmidt, on guitar.
Yes,
this
dear.
Is Marshall Goetz on the Boron. My name is Melissa. I'm playing mandolin. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I know that you guys have been on the show a few times. We certainly enjoy it when you come by. First of all, what was that instrument he was playing again? What was that called?
It's called a Boron. It's spelled B-O-D-H-R-A-N, but it's pronounced Boron.
Think otherwise known as a drum.
As a drum, exactly. Another complicated way of saying drum.
Right. Oh, they say every goat in Ireland is dying to become a drum.
Traditional.
Like that.
Actually, you know, that kind of brings up something I was going to ask you guys, is that you've got your start in bluegrass, but you kind of have an Irish feel. Are there similarities?
Oh, very much.
Again, the microphone.
There, here I am. I'm not used to singing in a microphone.
Or speaking, for that matter.
No, the Irish and Scottish people that immigrated to America, a lot of them stayed in the southern states of Kentucky and Tennessee and the Carolinas. And so this Irish and Scottish heritage of theirs turned gradually into what we call bluegrass. So there's roots.
Oh, so
roots and traditions.
I see how that all comes together. You wouldn't happen to have another couple of bluegrass slash Irish songs or anything, would you?
How about a traditional?
Well, no.
How about a traditional rock and roll tune?
How's about something else?
Hey, wouldn't I'm going to let you guys do whatever you want. This is Ravenspire.
The good thing about being American is we got a lot of traditions. And the good thing about music is there's traditions in each kind. And when you get to be a certain age, which I'm not going to say, but there's people that will consider this next song traditional. All that stuff out of that little round thing and that little stick there. One more we get. And we'll reach into a different whole area of music for this next traditional one. This is a traditional sea shanty. And we figure that part of our ancestors from Ireland would have been sailors or fishermen. I kind of like sea shanties. This is an old one, maybe 1830, and found it in an old book, and we just worked it up just a few weeks ago. Yeah. It's called Hilo, but actually, it should be called
Ilo. Ilo.
Because it's a port along the coast of Peru. And when the whaling ships came down from the Arctic Ocean after 3 years, that looked pretty darn warm and very nice. But a lot of the sailors were Cockney, and they couldn't say Ilo, so they call it Hilo. And whoever wrote it, the tune is Irish, and the words are from who knows where.
Sounds like a long tradition of just butchering other people's languages.
I know it. Yeah.
And the song is not nearly as long as telling about it.
Well, I had already. To tell it. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, Hilo Town, it's in Peru, and it's just the place for me and you.
Johnny, come down the Hilo.
Southeastern Minnesota and southwestern Wisconsin. You can catch them out there at different festivals all across the area. That was Raven's Fire. Man, they are good. No doubt about it. Well, you know, without sponsors, this show doesn't take place, and I see one of our fine sponsors has joined me on stage. Please join me in welcoming Mark from Niagara Cave. Welcome back. You guys have been out there for quite a while now.
Yeah, well, the cave's been open for 80 years now. I've only been there for 20, but the cave's been there for longer than that.
Do you think, how long do you think the cave has been there? I mean, it was only discovered 80 years ago. What would be your best guess as far as how long the cave's been there?
Well, it's probably been many hundreds of thousands of years.
I was thinking like 82 years or something. Like that. That they just put it in before they found it.
It's a tad bit longer than that.
A tad longer than that. Okay. All right. These are the kind of things you can learn when you head to Niagara Cave. Now, Niagara Cave is not near Niagara Falls. That's correct, right?
That is correct, but we do have a waterfalls in the cave.
Well, that I'd see. Where is Niagara Cave, though?
Just south of Harmony, about 5 miles southwest of Harmony.
Okay, so really easy to find. Not terribly difficult. It's not like out in the middle of nowhere where you have to drive for miles and miles and miles to get to it.
Oh, we are definitely out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, well, I'm trying to help you here, Mark. We're supposed to work together on this thing. What other exciting things do you have going on out there? I know that you guys are always adding things. I know that you've got a great new picnic area and spaces for folks to kind of spread out. What other new and exciting things do you have going?
Well, last year we put in our new 18-hole mini golf course, which is going really well and fun. Did some new work on the buildings out there and parking lot expansion.
I need to just stop you for 1 second. When you mentioned the 18-hole mini golf course, three people applauded. Apparently big fans. Well, there you go. I bet you can attest to this. Mini golf is for all ages. You don't have to be just young. It's for all ages, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the first 9 holes are actually wheelchair accessible. So if you're feeling lazy or know somebody that needs to use a wheelchair, you can use those as well.
Well, fantastic. And on the 18th hole, I'm sure you just hit it into the cave, never to be seen again.
It does go in a hole, but not quite into the cave. It's got its own little cave that it goes into.
Now, I distracted you from talking about the things you've got going on this year. I know there's something really cool going on Saturday nights. You want to tell the folks about it?
Sure. Because of our anniversary, we decided to give lantern tours on Saturday evenings. We're offering lantern tours after hours at 6:30 and 7 o'clock on every Saturday night all summer long.
Now, if I come out there, I get to hold a lantern, right? Because I'm a little sketchy in the dark.
Well, we'd probably give you one, yeah. Everyone gets to hold their own lantern on the tour. We shut all the lights off in the cave and get to experience the cave in a whole different experience.
It sounds like fun, actually. It sounds like quite a bit of fun. Now, what are your hours out there, Mark?
We're open 9:30 to 5:30, 7 days a week, and except for Saturday nights, we're open late for both mini golf and the lantern tours.
Now, if I had a big group, maybe on a bus coming through the area, would that be a place to go?
Oh, absolutely. We got bus parking, and we've handled hundreds of people at a time, so not a problem.
It's a lot of fun. If you haven't been out there, it is a tremendous way to spend some time in the afternoons or in the mornings, whatever time. Hey, you know, if it's hot outside, it's cool in the cave, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's 48 degrees, so bring a jacket or sweatshirt along.
Well, very good. Mark, we really appreciate the support Niagara Cave has given over the back fence, and continued success out there.
Thank you, man.
That's Mark from Niagara Cave. I'll bet you with the rain that we've been having, that waterfall is just gushing over there. It's fantastic. Have you ever been down there?
I'm going to surprise you.
Okay.
We went to Niagara Cave, Jerry and I, and we went all the way to the bottom.
It's a long ways down there.
It's a much longer way back up.
Yeah. Right. I don't know how they do that. Why they can't just take you up the same way you went down, but I agree.
We did it, and we had one of our granddaughters with us. And that snot ran up the last few steps. I mean, you could just smack her because...
Oh, you were talking about your grand... I thought you were talking about Jerry.
Well, that too.
I'm so sorry. I'm not really understanding things well tonight. I got to pay more attention to what's going on around here. In fact, I do see that there's... Ooh, looks like some backfence men are up there. What do we have?
Bicycle Built for Two, or Daisy Bell, was written in 1892 by English songwriter Harry Decree. The song was first made famous by Katie Lawrence in London. It was recorded and released in the United States in 1893 and charted at number one for 9 consecutive weeks.
To tell.
bicycle built for two. We will go tandem as man and wife. Dazzling eyes, a beautiful daisy bell. Daisy, daisy, give me your answer to. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you.
Glenn Jensen and the Backfencemen with a classic, a tradition, a bicycle built for two. Well, good things are happening here as things are moving around quickly up on stage. For those of you listening at home, come on down to the St. Main Theater. It's the second Friday of every month. And you can see what's going on behind the scenes right now. We've got a crew of 1,000 working, putting together the set for the following skit.
All right, kids, let's settle down now. Hey, why don't we play the alphabet signs game? Everybody look for the letters in the alphabet, okay? All right, here we go.
Oh, I see A, an apple orchard.
Oh, very good, Bonnie, good work.
I see B. See, being bad out.
Oh, what? No. We don't read the graffiti signs. Just regular signs, kids. Okay. All right.
What did she say?
I think just bad apple, something like that. Never mind.
C, gentlemen's club.
Oh, enough! All right. Why don't we try something else? How about we sing some songs? Maybe let's roll down our window.
Yeah, maybe everyone will sing along with us.
Okay.
On top of spaghetti, all covered with cheese, I lost my first meatball when somebody sneezed.
Wait,
99 bottles of beer.
Yeah.
Okay. 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around, 98 bottles of beer on the wall. 98 bottles of beer on the wall, 98 bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around, 97 bottles of beer on the wall.
Jane Bell, Karen Bonnie, no age. With a little look back at what it was like to take those summer car vacations, that didn't really remind me of my own family. There wasn't nearly enough yelling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If I have to pull this car over.
Yep.
Yeah. They had to pull it over a couple times. Wasn't good.
I know.
Wasn't good. Learned my lesson. You know what? Some people enjoy the tradition of sending their children to camp.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Now, I know a lot of parents that say, well, it's so good for the kids. Mm-hmm. It's really about the parents, isn't it?
It is.
It really is.
One of the best ideas I ever heard was these four couples went together and bought a lake cabin. And the kids, all the children from the four families, spent the whole summer there. And the parents took turns going a week at a time.
Ooh, jackpot. I mean, it would have been more appropriate had the children be older than five. But hey. You know, whatever it takes. Oh, look at what I see over here. I think we're going to hear a song from camp. How about Kumbaya?
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya means come by here. This spiritual was first recorded in the 1920s. Kumbaya became a popular campfire song. It became popular again during the folk revival of the 50s and 60s.
The Backfence Women with Kumbaya. For those of you at home, there was an incredible campfire burning right here on stage with people roasting marshmallows. Nobody brought the host one. I'm a little upset about that. Maybe I'll have to get my hands on Diane's delectable dessert later in the show. Hi, Bonnie.
Hello.
What do you have for us this evening?
Well, I'd love to tell you about a tradition in our family. This is a tradition that started when I was a little, for as long as I can remember. And it was my dad's side of the family that started what we call a family picnic. You would probably call it a family reunion. And it starts with my mother being in a flurry of activity, getting things ready to take. These wonderful rolls that we called Mrs. Horn's rolls because it was a recipe from her with that sweet and yeasty taste, and beans and casseroles and all kinds of things. So she was really busy getting ready, and then the next day we'd all pile in the car. The three of us girls would be dressed alike, and then my two brothers would be dressed alike. It was a big deal to, you know, get pick out your outfits and everything. And my mother would put on fingernail polish on the way. I could never figure out how she could do that in the car. I can't even do it when I'm sitting still. But and she would have on this flowered outfit and lots of big chunky bracelets and so on. I think that's why I like jewelry and bright colors, because of my mother. But it was so exciting, and I remember being just nervous and excited because there'd be a lot of people there, but also it was so fun. We would get together. One of my favorite things was get together with my cousins, and we'd find a secret place, and we'd take orange and grape and strawberry pop with us and lots of fruit and tell ghost stories. Another thing, we would go swimming with these big inner tubes. I could still feel the rocks on my feet getting out to the water. We would take motorcycle rides with Uncle George, who always had a joke for you. And wonderful Uncle Ray. We used to call him, hi, how are you, Uncle Ray? Because every greeting, he'd have this friendly, hi, how are you? It was always the same. They had an organ playing, and people would dance. Some of the older couples would do the polka. It was always fun. The men would grill the chicken. That was tradition. The ladies would set out the food, and there were rows and rows of salads, bread, hot dishes, desserts. One that we always wanted to save room for was Aunt Helen's bars. They were so delicious, and after she passed away, her daughters kept making them, and that was always something that was special. So everyone eats until they're just stuffed. Then the older folks sit in the shade and talk about times gone by. The children dig in the sawdust pile for little treasures or money. The teens play volleyball, and then later on, the teens and the children are throwing water balloons at each other and hitting a few unsuspecting adults as well. Then everyone eats later. Again, the food comes out later, and this time it's hot dogs, these wonderful hot dogs that you've just never tasted anything like it, and the other leftovers. The venue has changed now. We're not the same place. Just as many people still come, except now my cousins have children, and I don't even know all the names of their children, so there are a lot of people that we just don't know their names anymore. Uncle George is in a wheelchair now, but he still has that gleam in his eye, and he has a good supply of naughty jokes. Uncle Ray is gone now and many others, but we think of them every time we get together. And we get to see some of the people that have passed away in the slides. My dad always took lots of pictures, lots of slides, and now it's tradition that my brother shows those at the next family picnic, and people will say, oh, who's that? And oh, remember? Oh, yes, doesn't she look beautiful? Wow, she looked young when she got married and all that. And boat rides are now in a little pond with duckweed all over it, so it's not quite the boat rides that I remember before. My younger brother still has to nudge me and say, now which uncle is that? He could never get him straight. And at the end of the day, it's tradition, the women wash the dishes and pack up the leftovers, the men sweep the floor and put away tables and chairs, and another family picnic has come to an end. I always feel very tired and a little bit sad because it's going to be another 2 years before I see all those folks again. And we always know that there's a possibility that some of them won't be coming back the next time, but it's just so rejuvenating to be with family and know where your roots are. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie, for a look at your traditional family picnic. Well, a tradition that I know of from baseball games is a very popular song sung at the seventh inning stretch. I see the back fence gang. What do you have for us, George?
It's been called America's pastime, baseball. One long-held tradition at Chicago Cubs baseball games is the singing of Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
To the ball game. That's a great song. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great song. Well, you know, one of the other traditions that people have in families is to play charades. And so we thought that since we're just one big family, we're going to play charades. It's going to be a lot of fun on the radio. But the good news is you guys aren't listening to it on the radio. You're here with us. And we're going to compete for Diane's delectable desserts. What do you have in the basket today, Diane?
It's a tradition.
I will hold a microphone. You may speak into it.
Please?
Please. Well, she has a way of getting me back. We are now going to find out what is in the delicious basket, Diane's delectable desserts. See, that way we're going to edit that other part out. All right, here we go.
These are muffins, and a tradition in our house is muffins on Sunday morning, and these are fresh raspberry muffins picked from our garden.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, listen to you. I can hear those taste buds growling out there. Well, you know, first of all, I need somebody. Oh, there we go. Hi, Carrie. How are you? Can you bring some sanity to this event?
I doubt it.
Very good.
Not good at that.
Now, in my house, we would always compete boys against the girls. Do you feel all right with that?
Absolutely. The women are going to win just right up top.
Oh, I see. I thought I got to have the women on my team. No?
You're so funny.
Were you being sincere?
Of course, always. We need two ladies up here and two men to help us. Am I right?
You are absolutely correct. So, let's see who wants to volunteer. Now, don't make us choose for you. It's so much easier if you just... Oh, I see a guy. Come on up. Join me. Now I need one more. Well, you better look over there at that side, ma'am. Don't be looking at me. She's going to choose you over there. Because as far as I can tell from here, you are a female. All right, I've got one man. I need one more man to take part in this charade. I thought that was cute. I thought that was a good joke. Nobody even heard it. Okay. Oh, see, look at all the women coming up here. Now, I've got one. I need just one more gentleman to join me who loves to play charades.
Come on, boys.
Okay, you don't even really have to love it. You could just tolerate it for a few minutes.
Come on, boys.
You can give a fake name so nobody knows that you were doing it. Don't force me to come out there and get some of you. Look at you people hanging your heads. You're like, don't pick me, please don't. There it is, Mark from Niagara Cave. Mark, okay, we're gonna, okay, men, let's go over here and we'll huddle up over here on this side because obviously that's the women's side of the stage. All right, so I've got Mark from Niagara Cave has joined the team, and on our team we also have?
Steve.
Just Steve. Steve. Mark from the cave, and Steve. You guys know how to play charades?
I've seen it done before.
Right. Okay, exactly. What we're going to do is we're going to act something out for you, and then you're going to try to figure out what it is
sure.
that I'm acting out. I need to tell you this, I am horrible at this game. They seem to be having a plan over there.
Yeah.
We're going to just tiptoe over and see what's going on over there on your side. Would you like to tell us who you have playing with you? Wait a minute, let's just stop this whole thing. Let's just keep carrying. Excuse me, Rhea.
Yes, take it.
For those of you at home, there's incredible things going on right now on the stage. Complicated technical stuff.
Can I touch a microphone?
I gave you one that you could touch.
Thank you, David.
I gave you one that you could
wow.
touch of your own.
Already yes. trying to control the whole game.
I'm sorry
Typical.
About that.
Okay,
about
we
that.
Have two lovely women up here. Would you please tell me who you are?
Seal Allen.
Yay, Seal. Top player.
Bonnie Mockley.
Bonnie, well, thank you so much, girls. We're going to rock this out. We're just going to start with a quick chant. Women, 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 women. Woo!
No. We're gonna just do a little chant ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Kevin, Kevin.
All right, so.
We're trying.
Who goes first? The girls, of course. Thank you. Thanks for offering that up.
I have some cards. I have some cards, and they're all people. Just so the two teams know, you're only going to be guessing people.
The hint is people.
Who wants to go first?
The women are going first. I mean, there's just no doubt. Now, do we have to hold? No. The thing? Okay, here it goes. I got to put this down, right? Because I'm going to need all my hands.
Okay, now no help from the audience unless you're helping us.
All right, somebody's timing us, right? Okay, here we go. Can I talk?
No,
you can't talk.
Apparently, we needed to go through the rules of charades with Karen. Okay, this is what we were talking about when we said no helping. Oh, they got it. They got a point. The women got a point.
Surprising. Oh, good
that
job,
was,
girls.
That
good
was
job.
Very good.
All right.
Very good.
One point.
Look at the
at
excellent
point
scorekeeper we have
yes,
here.
That's awesome.
Bonnie, the excellent scorekeeper. All right. What are you trying not? We're trying not to show them, right? All right. Very good.
Yeah.
I want this one. Oh, I got to look on this side. Where exactly is the
it's
name?
Below the picture.
Oh.
All right.
Okay, I got this.
You can do it.
I
might as well see it.
No, you
so
hold, no,
I can
I'm not
boo
sure
you or cheer
I'm not sure I want.
Laugh at you.
You can do it, Damon.
Mr. Red?
Good guess. Real good guess. Sounded just like a horse to me. Try again, Damon. Time's almost up. No pressure.
Nixon.
Oh. Wow. I think there's some more people up out there that should be up here.
I'm liking these people.
Yeah, they're yeah. good.
I'm
they're
liking these
good.
People. Just okay, for the record, Carol, I need to clarify with my team. It is people.
Carolyn Monroe. Okay.
People.
Right? You said it. Yeah, but you said
people.
It.
People. Even though the horse talks, it's not a person. Did it really look like Mr. N? It did. Oh, my God, look at you all. Yeah, it kind of did.
It was the song earlier that inspired.
That must have been it.
Mr. Ed, yes.
Okay, ooh. Sorry.
Can I Time to go.
No, I'm sorry, we don't play that way, ma'am. You cannot have another card. This is our family tradition, and I don't know what you do at your house, but
she wants another card. That's not a good sign.
Oh, well, you thought Nixon was easy?
It would be easier to be able to talk, wouldn't it?
Oh, start?
Yeah.
Boxer or boxing? And it's a guy.
Fighter. A woman.
Rocky. Yeah. Rocky. 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 Rocky Balboa. Rocky. Muhammad Ali.
Cassius. Oh.
Baraki. Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, my God.
Woo! I'm good at this. Yes, number two. Women. 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 Woo!
Who is Rocky? Cassius Clay? Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a lot of pressure here.
We're behind by 1 point. This is a lot of pressure. Here we go. Are you beginning? Oh. Batman.
Roy Rogers.
Tonto. Lone Ranger is Roy Rogers. No.
Lone Ranger.
Trigger.
Time must be out.
That's it. Who was it? Who was it?
Which?
That was it?
I don't think anybody got it. I think they're cheating.
Oh, excellent. Steve said it. It's okay. It's okay. We win again. All right.
Shoot. They got it.
Yeah, we did.
Darn. I'm a bad loser.
They're hard to find, aren't they, Seal? It's really hard to find the actual...
I was going to, but I didn't. I pulled back. I forgot. I didn't do it on purpose. I'm horrid. Stop it.
See, this
Get a
is
new
why
one.
We...
I might have seen it. I didn't look on purpose, though.
Uh-huh.
I always say that when I cheat. I didn't mean it. Well, not on purpose, truly. I thought it was my turn.
This is what they all say.
I always think it's my turn.
Ooh, I like the look on the giver's face there. She's like, ow, no.
Here we go.
Dimples,
Shirley Temple. Oh! Yeah! And I didn't cheat that time. Yay!
That was so easy. That was so easy.
Yeah, it was hard.
If all you have to do is point at a dimple, that's easy. All right, Steve, now we're really relying on
that's
you.
That's why we're so good. We're just that good.
Is that what it is? You got this.
We're ready.
Come on, we're in tune with you. We're right there. We're there with you. Here we go. That's Fonzie.
That was so easy. Wow. Woo! We're out of time.
Are Let me go? Just point out why I knew that. I've never been able to do that. Even when this is long, you can't get a comb through it.
You can't do it. I can't get a comb through mine either.
Yeah,
no.
All right, we have time for one more for each
do
team.
We?
This one is
do
worth
we?
10,000 points.
Oh,
and this, I'm certain, will decide the winner. First of all, let's have a nice round of applause for our scorekeepers back there. That's incredible. Okay, so right now, for a score update, it's 10,000 to 3. But the boys can make a huge comeback here. If I just pick the right card, let's see. I may have.
Damon says he's not very good at this, so I have a good feeling.
I'm not very good at
that this
game
is
at all. I'm not very good at this game at all, but I need room here.
Oh, my. Clearing the stage.
That's right. I'm going to hand this microphone to somebody I trust. I'll just hang on to it.
Mr. Ed.
Close, but not quite.
Oh, that's good. That's a good guess.
All right, are we ready? Has the time started already?
Good.
Okay.
It's all actually.
Jackson is correct. Unbelievable, the skill there. I didn't know whether I should just lay on the ground. I thought that would be inappropriate.
Just put the glove. Yeah, right. That would be bad.
Okay, yeah. Well, the
so
game's
we
over.
We're tied.
It's a tie. Right. It's well, a tie. Thankfully, we've got prizes for everybody.
Yay! Thank you, honey. Oh, no, I don't need that.
Thanks so much for taking part. That's charades, a fun family tradition here at Over the Back Fence.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh.
Diane was so sweet, she had a couple extra, and she gave it to me. She knows how much I love raspberry muffins. That was fun. That was fun. Well, folks, we've come to that time of the evening where everybody gets a chance to sing along, and a very popular song at that. Please join the Over the Back Fence gang as we sing, You Are My Sunshine. To thank all of our fine guests, including our musical guest, Ravensfire. We'd also like to thank Barry from Bluff Country Computer Works and Mark from Niagara Cave. A great big thank you goes out to the folks from Fiddler on the Roof. Don't forget, they premiere next weekend. And of course, our special guest musical director, Rita Dalzell. My name is Damon. It's time for us to roll on out of here. But not before we thank Hubba, our pre-show music for the evening. Hubba, I'll back, something like that. I promise you. Oh, and Al Bat. We got to thank him too. Thanks a lot, everybody. Good night.
Again to the Over the Back Fence gang for their presentation of Traditions. We would also like to thank 103.1 KFIL Radio in Preston, Minnesota for tonight's recording. A final thank you goes out to the Lanesboro Arts Center and to all the sponsors that help make Over the Back Fence possible. Tune in next month when the show's theme will be The Big Top. I'm Terry Tenseth and you've been listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.